I'd like you to take your Bible, please, and open to John chapter 13, just for a few brief remarks from God's Word. These things touch my heart. I hope that they will be a blessing to you. So Jesus, at this point in his life, knows that he is about to give his life for the world. There's nothing at all hidden from him at this moment. I have been to see many people over the years who just received a terminal diagnosis about their particular illness. There's something terribly awesome about knowing the time frame in which you will pass. And it takes a while for people, even dedicated Christians, to wrap their minds around that inevitable end. Jesus knew this. He knew that his time had come. He knew that this very weekend was his last weekend. What would you say to the people you love? What would you do if you knew that your last moment had come? Sometimes people are given a date at which they will be executed for something that's happened to them, so they have a very certain time to fix and in their mind and to prepare. Jesus had such a sentence given to him, the sentence that we as sinners gave to him. He came to this earth knowing that he would give his life as a ransom for many. And now that the weekend has come, he's thinking about final things. Have you ever thought about what you would say if you had that kind of a death that you could actually be aware? It's interesting to see what different people do. Don Knotts, the comedian, the way that he passed was telling jokes right up till he took his last breath. People on the Titanic who knew they were about to die, the drinkers drank and the gamblers gambled and the smokers smoked and the musicians played. What would you do? What would you say? One Baptist preacher who had four sons, he knew that his end was about to arrive in the next day or two. And so he asked if all of his four boys could gather around his bedside. They were all quite adults by now and had their own children too. And as they gathered about his bedside, he looked at them and he said, "Sons," he said, "I have tried in my life to give you the greatest gift, the gift of Jesus." He said, "It has been my desire that you all be saved." And he said, "As far as I know, you have all received Christ as your Savior, and you are all trying to live the life of a true Christian." He said, "I am proud of you." He said, "But as I am leaving this world, I have one great fear." And he said, "That great fear is that my four boys will not understand the great burden that passes to all of us to share our faith with others. My desire and my great concern is that you will forget that you are here on this earth to be a blessing, not a curse. That you are here to give, not to get." He said, "I would like to hear from the lips of my four sons before I die that you understand this great commission that has been given to each Christian." And they all four stepped forward eagerly, not reluctantly, took his hand and touched his shoulders and said, "Dad, we will not forget." People in their final moments say things that really matter to them. They express the things that is on their heart and on their mind. Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." It's a very interesting study to read what the famous people of this earth said as they left this world. What would you say? One of my children said, "Dad, if you had the opportunity to say something as you were passing away, what would it be?" And I said, "When that time comes, if I go out, I would like to go out singing." Here in John chapter 13, we have Jesus' final words and his final act to his disciples. His great concern was that they be humble, teachable. His great concern was that they not try to be better than somebody else. His great concern was that they have unity and that they serve one another. For after all, Jesus had said, "By this will all know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Trying to cement all of that he had tried to teach them in 3.5 years, trying to cement that in their minds, he did the most astounding thing. He rose from supper, it says here in John 13. He went over and he got a towel from the servant's rack, and he got a bowl, which was by the door, that had been used to wash the feet of those who would come into the home. He filled the bowl with water, and then he went to one disciple after another, removing their sandals and washing their feet. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. They could not believe that someone of such greatness and stature and power would wash their dirty feet. So as he went from one to the other, most were speechless, but of course not Peter. Peter was about the only one who seemed to be able to find voice at such times. He said, "Lord, what are you doing? You shall not wash my feet. I don't want you to do that." Jesus said, "Peter, you don't understand what I'm doing. I realize you don't understand what I'm doing." He said, but try to get this, Peter. If I don't wash your feet, then you and I will have nothing to do with each other." Peter was aghast at that. He could not fathom the idea that Jesus and he would not have anything to do with each other. That was unthinkable. And so he went beyond, you know, as we often do. And he said, "Well, in that case, wash my hands and my head." And Jesus, "No, Peter, you don't really need a bath." He said, "You just need to let me wash your feet." And so Peter submitted to his Lord, and he washed his feet. When he was all done, he sat back down at the table, and he said, "Do you understand what I have done here?" He said, "You call me your master and your Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.'" He said, "But if I am your Lord and your master, then you must do to each other as I have done to you." And those were his last official words and acts with his disciples before he died. In his prayer that he prayed in John 17, he carried on that same burden in his heart. And he said, "Oh, Father," he said, "my great desire is that they all be one as you and I are one. Have mercy upon them," he prayed to his Father. "Watch over them, bless them, guide them, forgive them, help them." And then his prayer time was interrupted by a crowd who came to roughly, crudely, rudely arrest him. And they took him, they stripped him, they beat him, they tortured him with cruel Roman instruments of torture that I promised myself I would never describe to families. They did horrible things to him. Horrible things. To the point that he would have died from the torture, except for the fact that God gave him strength to finish the job that he needed to do. He would have died in the garden from a broken heart because of sin, if an angel hadn't been sent to strengthen him in that terrible time. So great was our Savior's anguish. I don't like to think about the fact that I helped that to happen. Humanity, as part of humanity, we helped that to happen. I don't really like to think about that, but it's true. But Jesus did that because, as Ellen White put it in Desire of Ages, she said, entire worlds sink into insignificance in comparison with the worth of one person. And so, yes, Jesus would have done all of that for you. So when I read this, I go through this in my own private time and think about this. My heart is greatly touched. And I think if Jesus could be so open and so kind and so good to people so undeserving, then, first of all, I need that. But secondly, I need to be that. Do you agree with that? I need that touch of Jesus. I need my feet to be washed. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. But I need to wash other people's feet using the metaphor that he gave us here. Seventh-day Adventists are just about the only people on the planet, not quite, but just about the only people left who still practice this. Most people say, oh, you don't need that. All you need is the juice and the bread. No. See, the juice represents his blood to cleanse you from sin. The bread represents his life. But the washing of the water represents his touch, his love, and your touch and your love to someone else. And that's the great thing that Christianity is lacking these days. Everybody wants to rush to take the forgiveness and to take this and to take that, but who wants to give anymore? And so this lowly service that some people think is weird, that we still maintain in our denomination, to me is the most meaningful part of communion. I'll still never forget. I've told you before. But every communion, I remember Brother Horton, that African-American elder in our church when I was a brand new Christian. He came up to me and he put his arm around me and he said, Kevin, he said, have you ever done this before? I said, no. He said, oh, he says, let me tell you all about it. And so he told me pretty much what I just told you. I've never forgotten that little sermon from Brother Horton. And it really touched my heart, especially in those days, not too far removed from the Watts riots in California, to have an African-American man wash a white boy's feet. And it was my pleasure to wash his. I think the world needs that, don't you?